The following message was given by Brother Edwin Wrighton in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, February 19, 2017. The title of the message is Visions of God and His Purpose. Scripture verses are Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, chapter 40, verses 4.
Turn our hearts to you. Lord, we fully depend on you. That you would speak this morning. We need your speaking. Oh, especially on this portion. Oh, Lord Jesus, speak to each one of us. Anoint your word. Anoint our ears. That we can see what you want us to see. That we can hear what you want us to hear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. I have a confession to make. I wouldn't have volunteered for this message on the visions of God. But I was asked, and I didn't dare say no, because this message is quite high. But I trust that the Lord would speak to us. Although it's a message that's quite high, there are practical applications for us. So before we get into the message, I would like to give a little introduction, because I am concerned that new ones or young ones may get the wrong impression about this portion. So concerning Ezekiel, we have some particular points I want to bring out first. With Ezekiel, there was absolutely nothing of the self, nothing at all. It is unbelievable. He went through a lot of suffering. The people despised him, even hated him, and yet he was faithful to the Lord. It's really quite amazing. There was no self-interest, no self-concern, and the best, he was set free. Set free from what? Set free from the self. You don't see any evidence of the self. No defense when God asks him terrible things. Nothing. Therefore, the heavens were open to him, and therefore, he received visions from God. We need to pray that the word, that the Lord would deliver all of us from the prison of the self, that we wouldn't be so concerned about us, that we wouldn't be so much self-defense, so much worried about so many things, about our future, about our circumstances, you name it. Forget about all that. If we are to be useful to the Lord, we need to drop that. So, no doubt with Ezekiel, that was the case. Now, the thing is that this training is not about individualistic spirituality. It's not about us. It's not about our needs. It's about the Lord and His needs. We pray the Lord would touch us to consider the Lord and His needs rather than considering so much about ourselves. Now, this is a lesson we can learn from Ezekiel. By the Lord's love and grace, that we would truly be those that deeply and earnestly care for God's interests. So the Lord asked Ezekiel to be a prophet. That is, to speak whatever the Lord gave him to speak. As a prophet, what the Lord showed him in a vision and what the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, he would speak to the people of Israel, even if they hated to hear what he had to speak, because what he had to speak was not easy. He spoke about Israel, who was going to be defeated and captured for a second time. So he was faithful to the Lord as a prophet. But here's the point. The Lord also asked him to be what? A sign in the sight of the people of Israel who were captives in Babylon with him. And this was the most difficult part. He had to represent what God was doing with Israel at that time. And I would like to mention three instances. In Ezekiel 4, well, we're not going to read these portions. I just mentioned the verses. In Ezekiel 4, 12 to 16, Ezekiel was asked to eat bread, but with cow's dung, to show the situation in Jerusalem, where there was no bread, and also as captives, where they would have to eat food that was not clean. That, of course, wasn't very easy. Then the Lord asked Ezekiel in Ezekiel 12:7-12, he was asked to go with baggage and make a hole in the wall to show what the king of Israel would do in Jerusalem. But the very worst one was he was told the one he loved would die and he would not be able to show any mourning at all. In Ezekiel 24:15-24, he was not allowed to mourn. And this picture was a picture of the destruction of the temple that they all loved. So Ezekiel's life was not an easy one. It was a very difficult one. And through Ezekiel, the Lord was able to accomplish that he would not have been able to accomplish through anyone else. What is that? The people of Israel had been captured. They were in Babylon. They still had the idols. They still were in sin. But through Ezekiel's being the prophet and the sign, they were rescued from that, and they were prepared to be ready after the 70 years were up to go back and build the temple. So what Ezekiel did is tremendous. No doubt he suffered a lot, but it was really worthwhile because of what he was able to accomplish. Now we come to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 3. The word of, let's read it together. The word of Jehovah came expressly. Gideon by the river Chebar, and the hand of Jehovah was upon him. The first thing we find here is that Ezekiel was a priest. He was a priest, therefore, he was a slave of God. Today, what does the Lord expect us to be? The Lord expects us to be priests. And if we recall, originally, before the people of Israel built a golden calf, all the people of Israel were told they should be priests. And the Bible tells us so. Oh, you're going to say, oh, wait a minute. Where does it tell us so? In Revelation 1:6, there's a praise for the one who made us a kingdom and priests to our God. So, in reference to that, we come to Peter, 1 Peter 2:5. Let's read this verse together. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here it is quite clear that we are expected to be priests. We have 2 points in this verse. First of all, of course, we need to be transformed. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. The spiritual house is the church. So all of us need to be built up in the church. That also requires that we take our cross. There may be some brothers or some sisters that we can't stand, but we need to be built up. So we better forget about our opinions, our concepts, how wonderful we are, and just remember we are just a member in the body. We are not the big guys we think we are. But it doesn't only say built up as a spiritual house, but it says built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. So we are expected to be priests. Not only are we expected to be priests, but a body of priests. It's not a holy priest, but a holy priesthood. We're expected to be part of a hood, not individual priests all by our own self, but a coordinated body of priests in the built-up spiritual house. So we encourage all the brothers and sisters in the Lord to serve him as priests, to follow the example of Ezekiel. You might say, well, how do I serve as priest? Nowadays, the biggest item of the priesthood is prayer. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for the church. And actually, in praying, we can touch the Lord. In our praying in spirit, we can see him, we can enjoy him. So we need to be priests. This is what the Lord wants. This is God's desire. This is his good pleasure that all of us would be priests. So then that brings us to Ezekiel verse 1 in chapter 1. Let's read this together. Now, 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth of the month, when I was among the captives by the river Chebar, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. Here, the first item mentioned, now in the 30th year. The 30th year was the first year where the priest would be available to serve God. So that means for us to have an open heaven, for us to have visions of God, we need a certain maturity. It's not that we receive the Lord and we can see visions of God. It doesn't work that way. So this is something that we need in order to see visions, to have an open heaven. The people of Israel, of course, that were captured in Babylon, they were full of sin, and that's why they were captured in the first place. So God could not open the heaven to them, and God could not show them any vision. But Ezekiel was available. Ezekiel could receive the visions because Ezekiel was seeking God, contacting God, connected to the heavens. Therefore, the heavens could be open to him and he could see visions. This brings us to Hebrews 4:16. Let's read the verse together.
Let us therefore
So here, the book of Hebrews exhorts us to come forward with boldness. Not only come forward, but with boldness. Not being afraid. To where? To the throne of grace. No doubt, the throne of grace is the throne of administration of God in the heavens. But to us is the throne of grace. How can we come to the throne of God in the heavens when we are in the earth? The secret is our spirit. Not only our spirit, but our mingled spirit. The Spirit of God is in our spirit. So that's why we can come to the throne of God in the heavens. Amen. Amen. While we're still on earth. Because our spirit is the place where is God's habitation. 2 Timothy 4:22. The Lord be with your spirit. Therefore, it's not a small thing to be in our spirit. And it's not so easy to be in our spirit. We can only be in one place. We're either in our flesh or in our spirit. And I like to compare the situation to a shut-off valve in a heater, a shut-off valve in what is heating the house. When the shut-off valve goes on as a safety measure, the heat disappears. There's no heat. When we're in the flesh, the safety valve operates, and we cannot see the heavens open, we cannot see visions, we cannot hear our God speaking. So we need to be in spirit. This is not a small thing, that we could be in spirit. Whenever we turn to our spirit, we enter through the gate of heaven, and because the Lord is in our spirit as well as in heaven, He is the ladder bringing us to the heavens. Now, the next point we see in Ezekiel is that he saw visions. Ezekiel saw visions. Visions of God. I'm concerned that when we speak about visions of God, new ones or young ones may consider, oh, maybe I can have a dream. I will never forget, there was this dear sister. She was a wonderful sister. She loved the Lord. She was always exercised. But every once in a while, she came to me and told me about a dream that she had. This glorious, brilliant Christ appeared to her in the night. That made me really scared. That's not what we're talking about at all. The visions are spiritual visions, not physical visions. So we need to be very clear about that. Such a vision from God will always direct our steps, control our living. Right. Even in the Old Testament. Actually, in Proverbs 29:18a, it says, without vision, the people will cast off restraint. So even in the old days, in the Old Testament, there was a need of a vision to control us, to regulate us, to direct us. So, okay, I would like to give an example. We talk about visions. What are we talking about? An example that I appreciate, I love, I enjoy very much is God's New Testament economy. We need to realize there is such a thing, and God's New Testament economy is really a vision from the heavens. You can't get God's New Testament economy in your mind. And I thank the Lord, I was really captured by this vision when I came to the church. You may say, oh, well, what is all that? Well, if you go to 1 Timothy 1:4 and look at the notes, you can find out that God wants to dispense himself into us. This is his economy. This is his desire. Why? Because he wants that we would be like the Lord Jesus. We see this Romans 8:29, that we might be conformed to the image of the Son of God, that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. So how crucial is this matter of this vision? If we are in spirit, first of all, but we need something else. We have to have an open spirit. Our heart needs to be open to the Lord. Then we could have the visions as a vision to direct us. The reason for this is God wants us to be useful to Him. God wants us that we are part of what He is doing. dispensing himself into us. But it also requires that we be open, and then we can see visions in an open heaven, being able to be at the throne of grace. So you might say, okay, but how does the Lord open the heavens and reveal visions? Yes, we may say the Lord is sovereign. It's up to him, not up to anybody else. But he needs the right people. If he doesn't have the people who have an open heart, turn to the Lord, an open spirit, that they're just seeking the Lord, not coming to the Lord because of their own interests, because they want to be a spiritual giant, but rather because they love the Lord. And out of loving the Lord, they really seek the Lord, that he would give them the visions. Especially for the new ones, the vision of God's economy. There's a need for persons on earth to be ready. We would encourage all of us to pray for this, that we wouldn't be so light, superficial Christians, but that we would be those who seek the Lord for what he has for us. Now that brings us to Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 4. Let's read this verse together. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and set your heart on all that I show you, because for this purpose you have been brought here, that it may be shown to you. Tell all that you see to the house of Israel. So here we see that it wasn't just visions, it was also the spoken word. And we find out that this spoken word was an express word, a special word that the Lord spoke to Ezekiel. Now, I would say that this really applies to us. We need to look with our ears and hear with our ears and set our heart on all that the Lord shows us. Because for this purpose, we have come to this point. And then we can share it with one another. So this is for us. The Lord shows us something, we need to set our heart on it. We need to go and tell the people of God. Amen. God's visions are his revelations, which enabled us to see divine, extraordinary things, spiritual things, but not extraordinary psychological or physical experience. We would not see physically the heavens open to us. We would not see physically what Ezekiel saw, like the four living creatures and the one on the throne with the appearance of a man. We're not talking about these kind of things. But rather, we're speaking about an inward exercise of the Spirit, in which the intuition of our spirit is based upon a clear conscience. We have to have a clear conscience. If our conscience is not clear, the heavens are not open and there is no vision. Acts 24:15 and 16 shows us Paul's testimony. What was his testimony? That he believed in resurrection. Therefore, he exercised to always have a conscience clear of offense. So, this is what we need. Then the spiritual function of fellowship is able to receive an unveiling of divine things. But we need a little more than that in order to see visions. We need to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Let's read these verses together. To you, spirit, wisdom, revelation of Him. Calling. Yes. Glory, His inheritance in the saints. Here we need three things. We need three things in order to see visions. We need revelation. What is revelation? Revelation is the taking away of the veil. 2 Corinthians 3:15, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So first thing, our heart needs to be turned to the Lord. And then, not only that, we need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And what spirit is this? This is our regenerated spirit indwelt by the Spirit of God. Such a spirit is given to us by God so that we may have wisdom and revelation to know Him and to know His economy. So, okay, how do we accomplish this? Paul prayed that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is in our spirit. And first of all, we receive wisdom. Wisdom that enables us to understand what the Bible is telling us, that we may know the mystery of God. And revelation is of God's Spirit to show us the vision by opening the veil. We first have wisdom, and then we have the revelation. Then the Spirit of God reveals the spiritual thing to us. So, first of all, when we come to the Bible, we see facts. The facts are there, you don't argue with facts, but the mystery of God's will, the mystery of God's will and the opening of the veil, for that we also need eyes to see. And those eyes are the eyes of our heart. There's no problem with the fact. Even there's no problem with the revelation. God is so gracious. He wants to reveal things to us. I just remind you when we were in Exodus, when God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments. When those Ten Commandments were put into the ark changed name, became the Ark of God's Testimony, and the tabernacle became the Tabernacle of Testimony. God wants to reveal Himself. God wants to show us what He is. So there's no problem with that. The problem is with the eyes of our heart, that we will have our heart turned to the Lord, nothing between us and the Lord, and then we can see the vision. So the main problem is with our eyes. In order to have eyes to see, we need an open spirit with a purified conscience. Hebrews 10:22 tells us that our conscience needs to be sprinkled with the blood of Christ. So our conscience must be purified, not only by the sprinkling of the redeeming blood of Christ, but also by our confession of our sins, of our weaknesses, of our mistakes, of our errors. Then we could have the proper conscience. But, brothers and sisters, I would say, you can forget what I said up to now, and you can forget what I say at the end, but I want you to listen at least to this, what I'm going to say right now. What am I going to say right now? If we're living and walking according to His good pleasure, the desire of His heart, what happens? Our inward joy is an indication that God is operating in us. We need this joy. I was really impressed by this. We need to be happy. If we're not happy, something is wrong. I would actually call this a spiritual thermostat. You know, sometimes, especially now in the winter, my wife says, "Ooh, it's chilly." I say, "Take a look at the thermostat." As long as the thermostat shows the right temperature, it's okay. Means that the heater is working. The boiler is working. So this is so important. We need to be happy. If not, something is wrong. We need to be happy regardless of our condition. Our condition could be bad. Regardless of our future may be in jeopardy. It's so good to realize we're in the Lord's hands, no matter what. So regardless of what is our situation, our condition, our future, we need to be happy because God is operating in us. And now we come to Paul's encouragement in this matter, Philippians 4:4. Let's read this together. Lord, always. Again, I will say rejoice. Very interesting. Actually, in the church in Philippi, there were two sisters who couldn't get along. We see that in verse 2. I exhort Euodias and I exhort Syntyche to think the same thing in the Lord. Even if they disagreed, Paul says, you need to be happy. You need to rejoice. Again, our rejoicing is not because of our situation, whatever. Our rejoicing is because of the Lord. Even if there is dissension, we need to rejoice. If we don't rejoice, we're wrong. And not only that, look at what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes? No. Rejoice in the Lord always. He says it once. Again, I will say rejoice. He wanted to make sure we get the message. We, Christian believers, must rejoice. Otherwise, we're shaming the Lord. Otherwise, we're blaming him for something. We need to be happy Christians. We need to receive this word. Finally, just briefly, I will mention 2 points which will be brought up in messages later. First, we have Ezekiel 1:5. Let's read that together. And from the midst of it came the likeness of 4 living creatures and their appearance. They had the likeness of man. I heard up the grapevine, and when I hear things up the grapevine, it's over kind of vague, not too clear, that somebody said, "We are the 4 living creatures." Well, I don't know who that person was, but I would tell that person, just consider 4 living creatures. First of all, it's not one, it's 4. So it's a corporate expression. Second of all, since it's 4, it's not brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. It's in coordination. Oh, but third of all, it's living. Living by the life of the Lord. If you're corporate, coordinated, living by the life of the Lord, then you can say you are the part of the 4 living creatures. Otherwise, please don't say that because it's not real. So we will cover this actually later. In verse 26, it mentions that on the throne, this one with the appearance of man. And here, with the 4 living creatures, they had the likeness of a man. So here we see that God had an expression in the 4 living creatures. They expressed God. So then, finally, we come to 1:26. Let's read this verse together. And above the expanse is over the heads of the likeness. So as I said, here we see that the 4 living creatures were an expression of the Lord. And this will be covered by a separate message. But in the meantime, hallelujah! Amen. There's a man on the throne of the universe! Amen. Praise the Lord! I will stop here.
Please show Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. Show those 2 verses. Okay. I just want to speak on 2 pronouns. Okay. I just want to speak in 2 pronouns. The first pronoun is the word I in verse 1. Okay. And then the second pronoun is the word him in verse 3. Okay. I saw visions of God. Of course, this I was Ezekiel, right? And the hand of Jehovah was upon him there. And of course, this him is also Ezekiel. Okay, now we are just getting into the book of Ezekiel, and we are going to get into it for probably several months. And I think it's very important for us to have a good beginning. Mm-hmm. And I feel it is very important for us to get into this book by knowing we are both I and him. Okay? And the I actually was mentioned, but it wasn't singled out, it didn't point out. And now in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth of the month, that means at a very specific time. Mm-hmm. There's no ambiguity about it.
Right.
The 30th year, the fourth month, the fifth of the day. Well, you can say 30 years is the maturity and so on, but it doesn't matter. It not only mentioned the 30th year, but also mentioned the fourth month and the fifth day. Very specific. At this point of time, okay? Not only in this point of time, while I was among the captives by the river Chiba, meaning that the situation was dire,
right,
and the place was specific, okay? It was in such a specific time, at a very specific, rather difficult situation, and a particular place, the heavens were opened. I saw visions of God. You know, I was reminded of this verse in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, when Saul was on his way to Damascus, and he was met by the Lord by the great light, and then he was led into the city, and then that was the time, that was the situation, there was a need. This one, Paul, needs somebody to help him. And then the Lord came to Ananias. Okay, now if you read verse 10, it's very interesting. And the Lord said to this disciple, Ananias, called him Ananias. And Ananias said, now if you read the version, it's very interesting. And Ananias says, "Behold, I am here, Lord." Actually, if you look at the verses, "am here" is not there. So it's, the word is just, "Behold, I, Lord." Okay. Now, it was at that special moment, in that particular situation, there was a very strong need. Mm-hmm. Here it was someone who was available. Imagine at that time the Lord was looking for somebody in Damascus, couldn't find somebody. Nobody was available. What a great loss that would be, right? And just like then, the 30th year, the fourth month, the fifth day, and by the river Chiba, and the Lord called Ezekiel. Okay. God wanted to show the vision to somebody.
Right.
And he was available. Actually, I think Ed did mention the word available, but it did not mention it so specifically, right? So I think this pronoun I is very, very important. Actually, of course, this whole book is this vision that Ezekiel saw. But it takes his availability. He was ready to receive this. Okay. And all that follows is because he was available. So I believe that don't just preach something. Say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to see something."
Amen.
During these months. I don't want to bring something old that you hear, want to just preach at somebody, just bring it, warm up something in your microwave. No, don't do that. You'll tell the Lord, "Lord, I want to be the 30th year, the fourth month, the fifth day, by the river Chiba, behold, Lord, I'm here." Okay? And if you do that, then whatever will come, it becomes clearer, because in verse 2 it said, "The word of Jehovah came expressly."
Right.
See, this word "express" actually is very interesting. "Express" meaning very clear, without any ambiguity, without any confusion. But "express" also, well, you know, the express bus, it comes speedily. "Express" actually can also mean speedily, right? It also very speedily. It came to Ezekiel the priest. Of course, there are many meanings. I'm not going to speak on First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And yes, it's true. We are living stones. Right. And we are, I mean, this, of course, is related to four living creatures. And we also, we are a holy priesthood. It's wonderful. And also, the reason it used him, I thought it was very interesting. It used upon him is because it mentioned about the word of Jehovah came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi. You know, actually, I was thinking, this week I'm particularly touched about this because we are very concerned about our younger generation. And what we want to do, we want the vision that Ezekiel saw will come to every one of us, right, every one of our younger generation. Yeah. I was telling the seniors the other day, I said, I hope you get into the book and you also pray for the younger generation. Right. They're all getting to see this vision. I hope all the sons of Buzi, all the sons of Buzi will see this vision. But you know, this book was not called the book of the son of Buzi. The book is called the book of Ezekiel. That is why I hope all the young ones, you will be available. You will be available. 2017, February, okay. Today is what? Today is 19th, 20th. Tomorrow, when you get into the portion, and the 21st, and the rest, okay? And I hope that every day you will be available to see the vision of God. And then the word of God, Jehovah, will come to you expressly, clearly and quickly and speedily, to Ezekiel the priest. Praise the Lord. We are a kingdom of priests. And we all are in this holy priesthood, and we all are sons of Buzi. You know, we are not the first generation. You know, we receive it from, we are standing on the shoulders of those who went before us. And I hope all the younger generation will come forward. This is why when Dennis mentioned about Saturday, we hope many of you parents of young children, actually I should say, Dennis, all those who are expecting young children should also come. Good. You will see the burden. It is not just on Ezekiel, but anyway, we're very burdened for our younger generation, right? And I think this time we're in the book of Ezekiel is wonderful. In the land of Chaldean by the river Chiba, and the hand of Jehovah was upon him there. I hope all our younger generations will be both the eye and the hymn.